2 Timothy chapter 2. If you find your place there, we're going to begin in verse 14. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll begin out loud together on the even verses, and I'll read by myself on the odd verses. We'll begin together in verse 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Well, to the message this morning, and I will try to be quick, if you will. I know that doesn't go with my character, so I am going to try to get out of that box today. But look at the end of the chapter here in chapter 2. We're talking about the people that Timothy is supposed to be reaching for the cause of Christ, okay? So please don't forget the focus, all right? Paul is giving Timothy this advice for a reason. It's not just to be a better Christian or to be a better person or for Timothy's benefit. It's so that Timothy can fulfill what God has called him to do and what God has called him to be. We're supposed to be an unashamed workman. Okay, we're supposed to be a Christian, one who names the name of Christ, who departs from iniquity, and who is an honorable vessel in the hands of God, right? For God's purpose. By the way, what is God's purpose? God's purpose is for us to repent. That's what God's purpose is. We are sinners, right? God is not. Man was created on a path. That path was in God's image, God's righteousness. We're doing a history synopsis all here in about 3 seconds, okay? We were going in the right direction, walking with God in the cool of the day. But the problem is, mankind turned from that. So to repent means to turn back. We were going in the right direction as a race, if you will. We were the ones that turned, and God wants us to repent. He wants us to turn again back to His ways and to Him and to all the things that we have in Christ Jesus for our life. He wants lost people to repent unto salvation, and He wants saved people to repent unto fellowship. That's God. Repentance is God's thing. So listen, don't be fooled by these people. There are church groups, there are religions, there are groups out there that will tell you that there is no repentance necessary. That's a bunch of hogwash. Okay? It is a false doctrine. They say repentance is a false doctrine. They just haven't read their Bible, I guess. Okay? God is a God of repentance. He wants us to turn back to Him. It is a pricking of the heart. It is a remorse proceeding from a consciousness of guilt. Folks, we are guilty before God. There is none righteous, no, not one. The pain and sorrow and regret for having offended God. By the way, folks, we offend God every day. Our natural man is offensive to God. Our natural thoughts are offensive to God because they're cursed. God is holy. We are not holy. So we have to realize that repentance is so important. It's a reversal of direction, a reversal of a decision. It is a turning back to God. That's what repentance is. So as we look at what Timothy is being taught by Paul, Paul is a great teacher, by the way, folks. You have to understand this. That's what his profession was as a Pharisee, if you will. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a learned man, and he was trying to teach. And by the way, he was very successful in setting up churches, starting churches, teaching those pastors to people to become pastors of churches and continuing the work. He was good at it. And he's taken this young preacher boy, his son in the faith, as he calls him, to teach him about these things. He said, look, you must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach patience, in meekness, he says, instructing those that oppose themselves. By the way, can I tell you something? Your sin is an opposition to you. And we in our natural state are in opposition to ourselves. Think about this. When something's in opposition to something, that means it's against it. Right? Your natural flesh is against you living for God. Your natural flesh is against you getting saved. Your natural flesh is against you going to heaven. Let me ask you a question. Why would you be for it? Why would you be for death and destruction and mayhem and sorrow and heartbreak and why? Why would you be for any of that? You say, well, because I get pleasure out. Okay. So if it pleases you to jump off a building, you're going to do that? That's in opposition to yourself. That's ridiculous. We say, well, everybody else is doing it. Yay! You're the bright bulb in the box. No! That's not how it works. You see, we've been deceived. He says that they're in opposition. They're opposing themselves. And then he makes this wonderful statement in verse 25. If God, peradventure. Now, that's a wonderful word, peradventure. It's that he's saying, if God is willing, if God is gracious, if God would entertain the idea of giving repentance, of allowing them to make a turn. Now, I want you to understand something. He says, if God peradventure will give them repentance. What's the supposition here? The supposition is that they've gone too far. The Bible says that God gives us over to our flesh after a time. You understand there are people, if you will, that have gone too far. You say, Pastor, what is that limit? I don't know. and neither do you. But the Bible says, the fool hardeneth his neck and is suddenly destroyed, and that without remedy, right? The Bible says that God gave them over to this or that or these other things. By the way, we have a great example in the Old Testament of this happening with Pharaoh's heart being hardened. So you understand, folks, that we should seek repentance while it may be found. Because there may be a time where it can't be found. You say, well, that doesn't sound like God. Well, what do you expect? Do you expect God to just let this go on forever and ever and ever and ever? It's up to us. We need to respond to God. And we ought to not just assume that God will. Right? Here's what people say. I'll do that later. Well, folks, there may not be a later. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance. He says here, to the acknowledging of the truth. I told a little bit about this on Wednesday, but I spoke to someone out on the reservation. I was having a conversation at a door, and we were talking about how I believe that this Bible is the truth. And what it says about the history of mankind, the way of salvation, our nature, that I believe that God's record of things is how it is. And they were telling me that, well, that's what you believe to be true. I believe something else to be true. Because they were taught that their Navajo ancestors and stuff were, you know, put here by a spirit and, you know, given these things. And folks, listen, they really believe that stuff. But that's not the record that God gives of creation. That's not the record that God gives of our relationship with God. But God says, I want people to turn. So I want you to think about repentance today in two ways. And I kind of led into this yesterday with our soul winners. We were going over the elements of telling someone about Jesus Christ. But I told them, I said, look, I want you, as someone who tells people about God and about Jesus Christ and about salvation, I want you to look at it in the light of your life. Because you understand, we ask people to believe the Bible, so we need to believe the Bible. You understand that? We ask people to repent, so we need to repent. We ask people to come to the Savior, so you know we need to daily come to the Savior. You understand? It's not different necessarily for a lost person being saved and a saved person getting right with God. They're very similar. So, but I want you to understand that as we look at this, we need to look at repentance. Yes, a person that is lost in their trespasses and sins needs to turn from that path unto God. That's repentance, folks. It's a turning. And by the way, you can't do it unless you're pricked in your heart. Let me read some verses to you here. And Jesus spoke of this in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 3, Jesus... Well, just go there. Actually, that's a good one to go to. Go to Matthew chapter 3. This is John the Baptist. And he came preaching, you know, in the wilderness of Judea. And he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And by the way, let me ask you a question here. Who's he talking to? The Jews. Who are the Jews again? God's people. Why do God's people need to repent? Because their ways had strayed from what God designed. They had gone a different direction. Do you know that at that time, the Pharisees, Sadducees, the religious ruling party, the Jewish faith, if you will, was not what God had set up. They had altered it. By the way, didn't he tell him that? Yeah. He said, you're whited sepulchers. You're full of dead men's bones. So you understand that John is preaching repentance. He's saying, look, you need to turn back to the path that God set up. And that path was looking for the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and he's here. That's what he's telling him. Look what it says here. Look at verse 8. He says here, I like verse 7. He says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? I love that statement. Isn't that funny? He's like, who told you about this? We don't want you to be saved. Isn't that kind of what it sounds like? Yeah, it kind of does, doesn't it? But this is what he says here. He says, bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. What does that mean? That fruits is just basically the proof. The proof. You know, you've ever heard, right? The proof's in the pudding. Right? You've heard that, right? You know the origin of that, right? I mean, how do you know it's a good pudding? Well, you know it when it's set up. If it doesn't set up, it's not a good pudding. You know, the proof's in the pudding. And so, right? Now bring us some figgy pudding. We can sing Christmas songs in August, amen? It's the showing. But what were they showing? They weren't showing repentance. We have to realize that repentance, the pricking of the heart, this reversal of a decision is important to the validity of our life. Let me ask you a question. How many of you ever dealt with a child that's done something wrong? Right? Okay? And when you deal with that child, oftentimes in the conversation and getting things corrected, you may say something like this. Now tell them you're sorry. Okay? And how many of you have had that child that says, sorry? And guess what you know? They're not sorry. Well, say it like you mean it. Right? Now, how many of you have dealt with a child that is sorry? There's a difference, isn't it? There's a proof of repentance. There's a turning that you can see it in them. And by the way, these Pharisees, these Sadducees, they weren't in on this repentance thing. They were still going in their same direction. And so you understand, folks, that we need to make sure that what we're doing is not just a show, but it's real. As you go back to our text here, I want to go back there. I'm going to read a few more verses to you. We understand that repentance is for the remission of sins. Our sins are before God. And if we're not willing to say sorry, if we're not willing to leave them there, to turn from them unto God, then it's fake. It's not real. How many of you have ever made a deal with God? You know, God, if you get me out of this, I'll do this. Right? Or you say, okay, God, I'm going to leave this sin at the altar, and then you basically pick it up on your way out the door. That's not true repentance. True repentance is to confess and forsake, to leave it behind. We need to make sure that we are truly turning back to God. What does that take? That takes conviction. The conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. You know that in the Bible it tells us to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. So when we hear the truth of the Word of God, that's doctrine, it says, this is wrong, you are wrong, Now get it right. Folks, there are some things that we have to agree with the Word of God that are wrong. Go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Now, keep in mind, oh, I told you to go back to our text. That's okay. Just go a few more pages. Titus chapter 2. We'll get back to this. He says here, in meekness, instructing those, telling them the truth, that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Acknowledging. When you acknowledge the truth, you are accepting it as truth. Therefore, you're saying what I believed before is not true, so I'm going to acknowledge, I'm going to accept the truth. That's a turning, folks. Are you there in Titus chapter 2? I'm not. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Paul told Titus to speak these things that would become sound doctrine. He says that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. By the way, is that opposite to how natural people live? It is. It's a turning. It's a different direction than the other direction. He says that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Folks, is it our natural purview and reasoning to be holy as God is holy? No, it's not. We're not holy. We're wicked. Our heart is desperately wicked. We would rather serve sin than serve God in our natural state. So what do we have to do to be holy? We have to turn. And so please understand, we've got to make this change. He says, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. By the way, what is the natural man? Teacher of bad things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That's critical there. Remember Solomon? What did he see out his window? He saw this woman, right? And was she chaste? Was she a keeper at home? No. She was out fishing. Not for a fish. For a man. It says she's loud and stubborn. Right? Folks, let me say something. Repentance is not just about a sinner coming to Christ. It's about a saved person staying right with God. Following the truth. You understand that in our natural state, whether lost or saved, we're the natural state's going in the wrong direction. Paul explains this in the book of Romans. He says, I find a law within myself, right? And I would that I could not and did that I did not and all those things. He said, I find that a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. There's a draw to be going in the wrong direction. Folks, what does that draw come from? The fall of man. Adam did this to us. But repentance is fighting against that continually. Turning to go in the right direction toward God. And it's something we have to choose. God wants us to go in the right direction. God sends and has sent. By the way, the Holy Spirit has two works here on this earth. You understand that? It's one but two. His work is the conviction of mankind. The conviction of lost man to become saved, and the conviction of saved man to stay in fellowship with God. And both of those require repentance. He's going to convict us of going in the wrong direction so that we'll make a U-turn and choose to go in the right direction. The devil is continually drawing us to the wrong direction. It's a snare. It's in opposition to ourselves. Let me continue here in Titus. He says here, young men, likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. By the way, this all sounds great. This is all the right direction. He says and that he that is of the contrary part, by the way, what's contrary mean? Opposition. Okay? That means there are some that are pulling you the other direction. And he said that those that are, be of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. He says, exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing it all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Isn't that amazing? Go over to 1 John chapter 1. Wasn't this the passage, Brother Dart, that you those people said didn't belong here? He came across a statement by some Bible correctors. Right? This is it, wasn't it? Verses 7 and 8. Yeah, they say verses 7 and 8 don't belong in the Bible. I got a problem with that. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We say that we have no sin. We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I don't see anything wrong with that. Anyways, I get ready off that soapbox before I get mad. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Go back to our text again. This thing of repentance. God wants the sinner to come to Christ. God wants the saved who has backslidden, who has slid away, who has gone away from God, who has turned their back on God, to come back to God. That's what God wants. He says, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves. Folks, God wants you to recover. He wants you to be successful. He knows that in our flesh and in our life, we're going to stumble and fall. He wants the sinner to come to the Savior. He wants the saved to be in fellowship with Him. God wants repentance. There is a path that leads to destruction. And many there be that find it. Don't go down that path. Don't be tricked. That word snare simply means, I wrote it down here because I knew I'd forget it. It simply means a trap or a trick as fastened by a noose or a notch. It's a very interesting word. It's a snare. And what does that do? It grabs hold of you and draws you away. You ever set a snare for a little, maybe like a rabbit? How many of you have tried to ever catch a rabbit, right? Or a small animal, right? So you have some kind of a tension thing, right? And there's a rope attached to it and has a little loop at the end, a noose or a notch, right? And they put their foot in it and it does what? Right? It pulls them away, it draws them away. That's the whole idea of a snare. The devil is not just content with capturing you. He wants to not only capture you, but draw you away. You know what lust and sin and all that stuff? It entices you and it draws you away. The devil's not just content with you quitting God. He wants to pull you away from God. When he captures you, he's going to take you further away. You've heard the thing that says that sin will, right, will do what? Take you farther than you wanted to go? Keep you longer than you wanted to stay and cost you more than you wanted to pay? Something like that. There's probably other variations of that phrase. But it's all true. But God wants you back. He wants repentance. So He sends the Holy Spirit of God to convict you of your sin. Not to make you feel bad, but to make you feel bad so you'll quit it and go back to Him. You'll turn back to the right path. There are dozens of verses that speak of repentance. But over in Luke 15, if you'll turn there, we'll kind of shut her down here today. I didn't get as far as I wanted to go. Next week, we're going to talk about the devil. You know why? We need to talk about the devil. He's our adversary. We need to know his devices, his snares, so that we can recover ourselves out of the snares of the devil. How does a person get out of a snare? If they know the snare. Right? If you know how a snare works, by the way, how many of you ever stuck your finger in one of those Chinese finger traps, right? Aren't those fun? You know, when you're first introduced to one of those, you don't know how it works, right? So what do? You get stuck. But once you know how it works, right? Once you figure out that if you squeeze together, right, and hold it, then you can pull your finger out. Right? You figure out the snare and how it works, right? There are awful divisive things called landmines. Right? Horrible things. You know that they were able to save some people once they figured out what? How they worked. I mean, now, first of all, avoid them. That's the greatest thing, right? Okay. But if you hear that click, yeah, uh-oh, right? But you know that there are ways to disarm those things. If you've studied them, if you know the snare. Why do you think God tells us about the snares of the devil? Because He knows we're going to get caught by them. And He wants us to know how to get out of them. Are you there in Luke 15? This is a story of recovery. This is a story of repentance. Look at verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. Let me ask you a question. Was that a good decision? No. No, he was in the Father's house. He was with the Father. He was going in the right direction. And he took his substance and went. He left. He departed. It says he took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. By the way, let me ask you a question. Is riotous a good thing? No. It's not a good thing. He says, wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. Well, that's where sin always leaves you. That's where that wrong path always leaves you. Oh, and by the way, if sin wasn't pleasurable for a season, nobody would do it. Sin is pleasurable, folks. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to hide it from you. Sin is pleasurable. But it always leaves you destroyed. It always leaves you in want. He joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. You see, this kid's life is over. It's over. He's blown it. There's nothing that can be done. The father wouldn't want him anymore. He's defiled himself too far. He's gone too far. He's gone away. There's no recovery for this. Is that how God works? That's not how God works. If peradventure God will give them repentance. Listen to this. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husks of swine to eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, folks, that's recovery. That's recovery. He came to himself and said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough to, and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise. Uh-oh. What's he doing? Arise and... Yes! He said, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned. I was talking to someone recently about this and telling him how important it is for us, as for parents, to get our children to admit that they're wrong. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Father, I have sinned. That way is the false way. This way is the true way. You know what that takes? That word recover means to be sober again or to regain one's senses. God wants us to come to our senses, to recognize that we've been walking in the world and in the flesh, and that's death. And we say, no, I don't want this path. Father, I've sinned. And we come back to God. That's what God wants. Repentance is God's gift. Is it a gift with a peradventure? In the case of those who oppose themselves, we are not to despair. The grace of God is available to the acknowledging of the truth. God wants us to acknowledge truth. I've sinned. I'm coming back to the Father. By the way, the Father received him. He had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him and said, the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. God wants people to come out of the snare of the devil. He wants you to come to repentance. Folks, today he wants the lost to be saved, and he wants the saved to be in fellowship with him. God is a God of repentance. He's a God of recovery. He's a God of grace and mercy. He's a God of forgiveness. God wants people to get right. Revelation chapter 3, he says, I counsel thee to buy me of me gold tried in the fire. By the way, this was to the worst church of all of them. The church of the Laodiceans. And white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. Folks, God wants us to be rich. He wants us to be clothed. He wants us to be right. He wants us to be in the truth. That the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. That's what God wants us to do. He wanted Timothy to put himself in a position as a pastor and as a Christian to help people come to repentance. And that's our job. Don't forget, Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost.